like to have a copy of God's work, extract that is from the Bible, New Testament, in its entirety, offer to you quite freely, and you're simply in only for the taking. You might want to come to ask us for one, gladly place it into your hands. Same work, of course, that brought the universe into being, that not only brought it into being, but of course, by which the universe, all things consist, and the same word that governs all things, the universe in which we live. And of course, it's the word not only of the Creator, but the one who would be, and your Redeemer. That is where you to trust, that is where you to believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Salvation is to be found in His name and in no other. No other way by which a man can be saved, that is, justified, made right with God. So if you like a copy of God's Word, you feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly, gladly place in your hands. Bible, of course, does explain to us, it's there of course that you find the relevant information, you know. Maybe perhaps the question begs itself in your mind, well, what is it that I need to be saved from? Well, you, unknown to you, but you and your children are conceived and born in sin. And therefore, as a result of that, from God's perspective, children of wrath. It's not that you don't know that God is. God says you suppress that truth in unrighteousness because, you see, of man's apostasy, your first parent and mine, Adam his name was, you maybe didn't vote for him, but that's of no account. Adam was not only the first man, he was the representative of humankind. Put on trial, put to the test, which he failed, sinned against God, and brought sin upon himself, and of course, the rest of his posterity. So that now God can say that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Born in sin, living in sin, die in sin, and go to a lost eternity in that same sin condition, unless that is God by His grace intervenes. But rest assured, all are under sin, and the result of this, of course, is, well, as God tells us, His wrath is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So man, you see, whoever he be and wherever he comes from, whatever his background, color, or creed, all are under sin, under the wrath of God, and therefore in great need of God's salvation. A salvation, of course, that's provided, produced by God Himself. The truth that is, as it is in Jesus, is that a man can only be put right, that this condition in which you are conceived and born can only be rectified through faith in Jesus Christ and no other way. There's no other escape route, not the philosophies, the stupid philosophies of men, such as Darwin's evolutionism, neither by the false religions of this world, of which there are many hundreds, thousands even. No, there's nothing that man can do. He is without excuse, and nothing that he can do to put himself right with God. God has provided the means, God has provided the way, and it is to be received by faith, faith alone, nothing else. Without that faith in Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. But then, of course, some people will say, well, some don't believe. Does that make the promise of God, God's promised salvation, does that make it null and void? No, it does not. Some will not believe. Many will not believe. Jesus tells us in the last days when he comes, he asks the question, will he find faith on the earth? And of course, the logical answer to his question, not directly given, but the logic is no, he will not. There will be some, but not much, because there will be a great falling away from the faith. Such as, I think myself, I may be wrong, but I think we're seeing in the very days in which we're living. But the truth of the matter is that some will not believe. But that doesn't make void the promise of God. That salvation is produced, that salvation is presented to even to you here this afternoon. You see, the fact that some do not believe does not empty God's promise of its power. For those who do believe, for those who have believed, well, they've discovered, they've found, to their astonishment, to their amazement, that it is indeed the power of God for salvation. Oh, I tell you, friends, even the very blind can perceive that the things foretold in God's Word, the Bible, are being fulfilled even now. Even now as I speak, everything that God has declared and spoken is fulfilled, is being fulfilled, and will be fulfilled. For you, I urge you, I implore you, to put your trust in God's promise in order that you might be saved. The promise of salvation for those who believe, that is, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Not the way by which a man can be rectified, justified by faith through the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. And of course, man is left without any excuse, no way of him justifying himself, though he may try, though he may strive. You see, I'm a good person. No matter how good you be, you're not good enough. But God says, there's none good. He says, there's none who does good. There's none righteous. Not a single one. None of us who can stand before God justified without faith in Jesus Christ. But there are some, you see, despite the unbelief of many, of some even, in spite of this, there are those who will believe. Because, you see, God gives faith. Faith, you see, is not something you work up in yourself. It's not something that you can pull out of your hat. It's not something you can achieve by, as I say, you might as well try and pull yourself up by your bootlaces as try to believe in Jesus Christ yourself. You see, faith is a God-given commodity. It is given by God, and it is given to the heirs of promise, of the promise of God. The salvation, not for everybody, head for head, only for the heirs of the promise. If you're not one of them, then you don't get faith. That's your own line, because here's the thing. You see, God's plan is not to save everybody. We're not here to save the world, We're not even here to make the world a better place, We're here to declare the promise of God, salvation to those who believe. If you don't believe, God has produced the goods, he's produced the message, he's produced the salvation. But if you don't believe, well, then you've got no complaint, when you end up in hell's damnation. No complaint at all, because it was produced, provided for you by God. It was presented to you. You were told about it, but you would not believe. And so therefore, you will not be saved, along with the rest, the majority, I dare say. Your end will be eternal and everlasting damnation. But to the heirs of the promise, you see, faith is given to them, but not to all. Why? Well, rather to show, you know, that God is true, true to his promise, faithful to his promise. Man is a liar, let all men be liars, but God is true. And of course, well, the conclusion that men come to, of course, is, well, if God has permitted and proposed sin, that is for his own glory, to show his goodness, well, let's say they argue, well, absurdly, but they argue, well, you know, if that's the case, if our lying and our sinning, if that enhances God's righteousness and works for his glory, well then, it's better that we all just sin in order that good may come. Well, of course, that's an absurd argument. That's an absurd conclusion to come to. That God sovereignly gives only faith to those whom he chooses to do so, to those who are the heirs of his promise. And again, men say, well, let's do evil, that good may come from it. Again, it's an absurd conclusion. What is, you might ask, God's purpose in sin? God has decreed everything, the Bible tells us, that falls out in this world. There's not a sparrow falls to the ground, but without divine permission. So sin too, man's sin, man's rebellion against God, you see, is part of God's purpose. In order, of course, to show that he's good and that man is not. But then, of course, again, you see the absurd conclusion that men come to is, well, then let's sin no more in order that God may get good from it. So, like I say, friends, it's an absurd conclusion, and it's the kind of thing that we hear day by day, you know, in dealing with people. For instance, you know, taking a man throws a child into the water, and another man dives into the water and saves the child. And the first man who threw the child into the water, he says, well, I ought to be praised for doing that, because I showed this other man's great courage. Good came out of it. You see, that's the kind of absurd argument that people made. 2,000 years ago, the Jews crucified Jesus Christ by the determined will of God, of course. Of course, well, they could perhaps turn around and say, well, you know, we crucified the Son of God, so we did it was an evil deed, but good came out of it. We provided atonement for the sins of the world. It's an absurd argument. Friends, no, it's a damnable conclusion, I tell you. The end of what the apostle says here, there, those who make such an objection, their damnation is just, he said. So you see, God is glorified in everything. He'll be glorified even in your damnation. If that's the end of you, if you don't believe, if you don't repent and believe, God will be glorified in you one way or the other, either in your salvation or in your damnation. But God will have glory for himself out of everything that he has purposed, out of everything that he has decreed, out of everything that falls out in the world, even your sin. But to come to this damnable, this absurd, this stupid conclusion, well then, let's do evil, let's do more evil, in order that good may come of it. Utter and absolute nonsense. No, dear friends, salvation. God has provided this salvation. This is Gabriel. And he has demonstrated his righteousness, the only righteousness that will pass muster with God in that day when he judges you and he judges all flesh, all human flesh, that is. A righteousness revealed from God himself. The righteousness of God, because yours and mine is no good. Yours and mine is shot through. There's absolutely none good. Listen to what God goes on to say. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's the state. That's the condition. That's the reprobate condition of every man, woman, and child born into this world. Your condition. And then tell me that, you know, that men wrote the Bible. How men devised the Bible, they mean by that. Do you honestly think if you wrote the Bible, is that how you would describe yourself? Is that how man would describe himself? I hardly think so. No, he would describe himself as you do, a cool dude, a good person who's always doing good and who never did any harm to anyone, never wronged anyone. But that's not God's perspective of you. That's not the truth. The truth is, just as I read for you, there's none righteous, not a single one. So on that day, you see, when you stand before God, well, you need to be found having trusted in the righteousness of another, not yours, because yours is shot through. Yours is no good. Yours is like, says God, a filthy rag in his sight, untouchable. Won't even look upon it. He's of purer eyes than to behold evil, such as lies and lurks in the hearts of all men and women. So you see, it's a very dark picture, of course, you see, that God presents us with. And you might say, well, that's way, way too much. No. No, no, I've only touched the tip of the iceberg. It's much worse, believe me, worse. Worse than I can paint for you in words. Read God's word for yourself and see his diagnosis, not mine. So you see, it's not the cancer, it's not the tsunamis, it's not the earthquakes, that's not the worst, not by any stretch of the imagination. It's your sin. It's your sin and the sins that proceed from your sin. Conceived in sin, born in sin, live in sin, die in sin, and go to hell in sin. Unless by the grace of God you are saved. Unless by the gift of God you are saved. Unless God intervenes, unless God in his sovereign kindness and mercy breaks into your hearts and life. Unless God gifts you with the gift of faith, you will never believe. And if you don't believe, well, then you'll not be credited with God's righteousness. Because that's the only way by which you can pass muster with God and with his justice. A righteousness, the righteousness of another, even that of Jesus Christ. Not of works, not your works, not your good deeds, not mine, not your religiosity, or the lack of it, friends. Only the righteousness of God that is declared upon the sinner when they believe, when they trust in another, renouncing self, renouncing their sin, turning from it, and turning to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, trusting in what he did, what the Son of God has done, what he has accomplished. His death, his dying, his rising. Not even your believing, but trusting in what Jesus Christ and he alone has the ability to do. No other way that you can be declared righteous before God, and no other way by which you can be saved. So hopelessly under sin, you say, and under the wrath of God is revealed, you say, where? But look around you in your world today, men and women, under sin, and the further on that they proceed in life, the more and more they proceed under sin. You're under sin, slaves to sin, to a man, to a woman. Oh, you say, I'm a free man, I'm a free woman, I can do what I want, I can please myself, I can make choices. The only choice you can make is to sin, and then to sin some more. That's the only choice you've got. You were born into slavery. You were born into slavery. Slavery and sin. And you'll live in it, you'll die in it, go to a lost eternity in it, unless Jesus Christ set you free from it, under sin, and therefore under the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is much, much more, believe me, than simply his anger. Oh, he's angry, he says, with the wicked every day. But it's more than that. You see, the wrath of God is a dynamic. It's at work, operating in the midst of the entirety of humanity, pressing you down, holding you down in your corruptions, pressing you further and further down into them. Why? Because you don't want God, because you did not think that the knowledge of God was something worth retaining in your mind. So you gave it up. You gave it up, you abandoned God, you walked away from him. You gave him the finger. And so God, you hold down the truth in unrighteousness. God, in his wrath, holds you down in your corruption, giving you over to the reprobate minds that you see abroad in your society and world today. All the unfitting, all the ungodly, all the wicked, evil things that you see men dreaming up, their deviance and sexuality, sodomy and lesbianism, and every other kind of filth and uncleanness, delivered up to uncleanness because of your abandonment, apostasy from God. This is the result. This is the outworking. You say no to God. You see, God says no to sin, but you say yes to it. So God says, okay, I'll give you what you want. I'll give you more of what you want. I'll give you over to what you want. And so he gives you over. In his wrath, he presses you down and down and down into more and more sin, giving you over to a reprobate mind to do these things that are unfitting for any human being to do. Things that not even the animal kingdom would do, men and women do. Disgraceful, shameful, disgusting things. Unfit even to be mentioned in public. But yet you revel, yet you rejoice in such things. And I tell you, you do not turn from them. If you do not find repentance, or rather, if it does not find you, if you do not believe, or rather, if belief does not find you, if God does not find you because you won't find him, there's none who searches after God. Not at all. God was not in search of you. He would never be found by you. And unless he searches for you and finds you and saves you and rescues you from your deplorable condition and sin, under sin, unless God lifts you out of the mire and the muck and dirt and result of sin. You perish in your sin. You perish in your sin. But the means of escape is made known to you and made known amongst you. The way of escape, the only way of escape. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. No one else worthy there under the entire canopy of heaven by which a man can be saved from that black and damnable state and condition in which man finds himself. No other way, no other name, no other way back to God, only through Jesus Christ, the one born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Those under, that is, the condemnation of God's law as a result of their lawless deeds. But of course, it's the nature. God must change the nature, and of course that's more than you and I could do. The nature of the beast has to be changed. It's the beast in you, and the beast in you working out of you. The manifestation, the evidence of sin. Look around you. Look at the things that you do. Look at the things that you've done against God, because against God you sin. Ultimately, all that you've done and all that you do, the beastly and terrible things that you think and that you speak and that you do, think about them. You have to give account for them, all of them. Unless God, I tell you by His grace, unless He graciously intervenes, unless He reaches out, unless He searches for you and finds you. But my Bible tells me the Son of Man came to seek and to search, seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, friends, the lostness of the human race. All men, I tell you, the best and the worst of them. The kindest, sweetest old lady you could possibly think of. A sinner, a reject, a lost soul. Friends, with no good, no righteousness, and nothing, absolutely nothing, to commend her to God. Friends, that's the state. That's the black and dark state of the entirety of the human race, without Jesus Christ, without the righteousness of God, without the salvation of God, made known amongst you. But friends, can you not see it? Are you still blind to the reality? Can you not see the outworking of it in your own nation, in your own land? Broken, not just politically, but morally, every which way. A nation decrepit. A nation that's bankrupt in every which way. But why the bankruptcy? How do we come to such a place as this? A nation that's had the word of God. A nation that's had the promise of God. All these many, many years. Nigh on 500 years. How we come to this place of utter bankruptcy without a man to lead your nation? There's not one. You haven't got a man in all the nation with the wherewithal to clean the swamp of Westminster.
He's not real.
Friends, it's your departure. It's your departure from God. It's your apostasy. And until you get right with God as a nation, until the nation turns, until the nation repents, until you bottom out, until you get to that place where you see, where you understand, where you grasp it, where you get it, that there's no hope without God, that there's no hope without your Maker, without the righteousness of God. So, friends, the one who God, the one who got the promise of God, the salvation of God, no excuses. My excuses. Doesn't matter who you are, says God. Where you come from, what your background is, no excuses. Your unbelief, your lies, your sin, God will be glorified. God will be glorified. God will get glory out of your sin. He'll get glory out of your unbelief. He'll get glory out of your lies, out of your lying hearts. He'll get glory. But friend, what will you get? Will you get salvation? Will you get redemption? Will you get heaven? Will you get eternal glory? God has revealed His righteousness. The only way by which you can enter glory, the only way by which you can be accounted right with God and pass muster in that day of judgment. God will be glorified by hell. God will be glorified by everyone who enters into hell. Prepared for the devil and his angels. But of course, occupied by many thousands, millions, down through the generations, that God will get glory, either through your salvation or your damnation. But one way or another, God gets His glory. But we would have you to get salvation. We would have you to be saved. We declare the righteousness of God, salvation, redemption of God. We declare the Son of God to you. We declare the only way back to God from that dark, dark path of sin. The only way by which you can be retrieved from it. Through faith in the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. See the extent to which God has to go in order to retrieve man. So dark and so desperate, so awful is the condition of man that God has to go to extremities in order to save him. God has to send His only begotten Son into the world. He has Him born of a virgin, miraculously, supernaturally, born of the virgin. He hasn't walked the face of this earth and treated abominably by the hands of wicked and cruel men, taking a nail to a cross. The apple of God's eye, the supreme love of God, the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, who never harmed anyone, but only ever went about doing good. The only good man that ever walked the face of this earth. And what did you do to him? Nailed him to a cross. But that. But that was all. All determined by God. That was God's plan. The wicked deeds, the evil deeds of men. Well, you say, to accomplish God's will, you know, if they did God's predetermined counsel, well, they ought to be applauded for it. And that's the absurd argument that they make. They say, well, they did a good thing. In crucifying the Son of God, they provided atonement. No, my friend, that's a damnable argument. And anyone who would come to such a conclusion as that, God says, their damnation will be just. No, God sent His Son into the world, had Him crucified, dead and buried, nailed to a cross in order that you might be washed and made clean, that the filth and muck and mire of your sin might be removed, the stain shifted, that cannot be moved by anything else but the blood of the Son of God. The only thing that will remove the stain. There is no other commodity, I tell you, that will shift the stain. You need to be washed. Why? Because you're unclean before God. You need to be rectified. You need to be restored because you're far away from God. You need to be declared righteous because because your righteousness is our unrighteousness. Everything and all that you do is tainted with sin. The best deed that you could possibly think that any man ever did in this world is cursed. It's tainted with sin. There's none good. Don't you get it? There's none good. Not a single one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so therefore all in need of God's righteousness revealed in the gospel. That's where you find it, and that's why. Because of this condition that mankind is in, that you are in without Jesus Christ, without the righteousness of God. That's why we come to you Friday by Friday, why we're eager to preach the gospel to you, because it's the power of God. It's the mighty, almighty power of God to rescue, to redeem man from this dark and deplorable state and condition that you've gotten yourselves into. There's no other way out. The power of God unto salvation, the power to remove the wrath of God from off of you. The power to bring you out from under sin, out of your slavery, to break the chain. The greatest freedom fighter that ever walked the face of this earth, Jesus Christ, died to set the captives free. Born into sin, slaves all your days, unless Jesus Christ, unless He set you free from your captivity. So why? We're eager. Why do we come to preach the gospel to you? Oh, but you say some don't believe. I say many don't believe in this your day and generation, but that does not nullify the promise of God. That does not nullify the word of God. That does not cancel the promise of God that whoever believes shall be saved. The promise still stands. God is faithful, utterly faithful to His promise. And let God be true, but all men liars. God doesn't lie. His truth concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, prophesied thousands of years, the Old Testament of the Bible, before Jesus Christ was ever born into this world, but fulfilled, all foretold, how He would come, why He would come, what He would do, and why He would do it, and all fulfilled, the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Promise of God fulfilled. Another further promise yet to be fulfilled. And you can be assured it will be. So some don't believe. Well, what's that to you? What's that to you? Do you have to follow them? Do you have to go with them? Do you have to tread the pathway to damnation with them simply because they don't believe? Simply because they come up with these damnable absurdities arguing against the promise of God? Are you going to be led? Are you going to be led by the nose into the damnation of hell by others in their objectionable absurdities? Or will you trust in the promise of God? The promise that still stands, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The promise still stands, salvation through Jesus Christ, through the Son of God. I say, who loved sinners and who gave Himself for them. There's no other way. No other way back to God. There's no other way to righteousness. That righteousness has been revealed in the gospel. That's where you find it. Look into it. The word of God. The gospel. The good news. It's good news. Why? Because it saves men. It saves people from such an end. It saves people from such a condition. The blackness this in darkness of your sin that's worse, much, much worse than anything you could imagine. Friends, the gospel, that's where the righteousness of God is revealed. And the Son of God who bore the punishment to live the life that you should have lived but have not and could not. Who died the death that you should have died but could not. Because he died in the place of others. He died. You deserve to die. It's sin's wages. I deserve to die. Jesus Christ did not deserve to die. But he died bearing the wrath, the weight of the world's sin upon him. In order that those who believe, who trust in him and what he has accomplished might be relieved of that weight of sin and wrath that is due to them. He bore sin in his own body on that tree to bring men and women to God, to bring them out from under sin, bring them out from under the wrath of God, and bring them into the pleasure, the glory, the righteous, the goodness, the wholesomeness of God. And I tell you, without God, through his Son Jesus Christ, there is no goodness, there is no blessing. There's nothing for you from God. Nothing. Nothing but the curse. You get up in the morning cursed. You're cursed at noontime. And you're cursed when the sun goes down. That's all you've got without Jesus Christ. And there are no substitutes. Not any one of your 9,900 false religions. They will not do. They will not cut it in that day. And neither will Mr. Darwin nor Dawkins with their folly of evolution. Friends, it is one answer, and one answer only. And that is that you repent before you perish. Because God now commands all men everywhere to repent. The words of Jesus recorded for us in the Gospel. His very first words recorded in the Gospel, repent and believe. Why? Because the kingdom of God, the righteous, the loving, saving rule of God is at hand. And the only way you can enter into that kingdom and enjoy and know its benefits, salvation, righteousness, loving kindness, wholesomeness, the only way you can enter in is through repenting of your sin and believing on the Son of God. God's command to all men. Oh, but you say some have not believed, so what? God still commands all men to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And his assurance is, and you shall be saved. You shall be saved. So you see, friend, God gets the glory one way or the other. He doesn't lose out. He doesn't lose out, not one iota. But you will if you don't believe. You will if you don't repent. You will if you don't turn. In order to benefit from God, you must needs. You must. You really must. You must be born again. Jesus says so. Does it even begin to make sense to you? I know. It doesn't add up. Doesn't make sense at all to you. Because you've never been born again, that's why. But you must be. You must seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. But you see, I don't want to. Well, there you go. There you go. Then you won't be saved. You won't get righteous. You won't get right with God, that is. You have not the will. You have not the desire to seek after God. He must even give you that. Unless he does, I tell you, you'll all likewise and brings them to that place, hopefully, of some measure of alarm, of fear, even. And brings them to that place of calling, crying out to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, in order that they might be saved. I hope I pray that be you. I hope I pray that be you. And that God give you faith. God give you repentance. God give you the new birth. God give you what you need. God be gracious, merciful to you. And our dear friend, well, you want to check it out, you know. Got a Bible here, got the Word of God. Yours for the taking. Offered to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you. It's the Word of God. Check it out. Read, see for yourself. See what Jesus says. John chapter 3, verse 7. You must be born again. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Repent and believe the gospel, because the kingdom of God is at hand. So we call, we command you today, Stafford, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel, Stafford. Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like a copy of God's word? Come and ask for one. Gladly place it into your hands. May God bless you and have mercy, mercy upon your precious, never-dying souls.